I went to Paris in July and it was absolutely wonderful, so inspiring. If nobody's been, then go. Especially the Latin Quarter, and to be walking in the footsteps of Gertrude Stein and Ernest Hemingway was just fantastic. So I started writing a sequence of poems, this Paris sketchbook. This is Pastiche. Paris opened as a book under my skin. A movable feast, Hemingway once said. There is no war under my skin, only art that sometimes speaks of war. In Eglise, Saint-Julien, Le Pauvre, the first six notes of Bach's Marcello Adagio chime with Notre Dame. The note cannot play without the air, and the air was filled with hibiscus. Paris is a panacea, my alter ego blossoming as sweet as spring on Sunday's stroll in Jardin de Luxembourg with Antonia. Along the Seine, unblemished bathers in July's La Plage, promenade next to drowsy heat of the afternoon right and left bank booksellers and posters of Le Chat Noir, Pont Neuf, the synapse lay between. I watched the way the light fell, and I fell into myself, and it felt good, and it felt strong. I watched sober shadows from second-story windows at La Palette, etched into lithographs at Musée d'Orsay, in the same room as Mademoiselle Chanel's nonchalant eyes, half-sleeping, half-remembering the protagonists at Rue de Seine. More than a generation ago. I wandered into antiquity, a milieu of veined alleyways leaning into the bow of Ile Saint-Louis. I searched for lost time, à la recherche du temps perdu, with Proust and Jean-Paul Sartre, unconscious belly pop minds unleashed, along with espressos and coq au vin at Café de Flore. I turned away from the rifle gendarmes and unrest, opened my book and began to sketch.
Thank you, Linda. And next it is Charles Clark.
Hello.
Hello.
A satire. Ladies of striking looks in Grafton Street, full purses and nothing much to say. I passed to an older image, black dress, scant jewelry and a plain face, and Yeats said, a laurelled crown. Lady Gregory. Robust, strong frame or thin at all, bodies defined by labour, they are peasantry with infinite guile, foundation of our country, one of our estates. Three, their strange origins are levers, from a shipboard romance, a bastard in New York, he is tall with some nobility and peasant conic. A gardener's son, grown up near a college, church full, might be called flexible, parachute. Man of many birthplaces, known by initials, derived from hillside men and a political priest. Seen in his native place, worried face of businessman, dance halls and dog food, miserable on the table, says enough. Yet they deserve some credit for their conduct of our affairs, after all.
Thank you, Charles and Kevin Griffin.
I will be brief as the night moves on, but I have to tell you this joke first.
There was, already laughing.
There was a poetry reading once in Renaissance Florence, and it went on all night. And finally they were down to one. This young man walked up with three big volumes and he said, "My name is Dante. I'm just going to read three things for you." This one is about a deal I had with a lady actress who lives near me. It made a fine anniversary present. It's called A Solution for Souls. Finally that evening, I dropped in on Sylvia. She was still in the same painting, the one with the leaves. Autumn leaves everywhere, noisy in the wind. Tea, she asked. No, I said. Water, wine then. The water tasted good from the well, smelling of moss. Leaves, I ventured. Yes, she hemmed, mind elsewhere. They arrived, the wind offered them. Oak, she mused, abstracted. My own words slapped me, left me weary, and I about faced, see the canvas. Leaves all over. Oak, of course, white, a few brown, blue even, green too for the occasion. When again I dropped in on Sylvia, couldn't help thinking Sybil, she had painted a hair. A great, bounding fellow, at a standstill now. Durer came to mind. I was surprised, she favoured horses. Recently, I had written a few lines about black horses and snowflakes and oak leaves, white and unflinching. It's a flux, she offered, a flux. Nothing stays long enough. I intended to finish the poem, but it became another. The blasted innocence of pen and pages. Finally, the painting and the poem resolved themselves or were abandoned. Much later, we had wine too to see a deal for another. A painting of town comes to country scene. I left her working on a still life of sorts. Quartery of knives, ivory handles among black shiny stones. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. I need to point out that we're not working on a 3-2 room here, we're working on a 3-minute room, so if anybody feels they can first make it Dante, you're in the wrong place. Seamus Harrington is the next one tonight.
Last night I was here, I forgot to bring the surface, a different anthology, On the Banks from Collins Press. And I read one from it, there's a prologue which is missing, I'll read that first. November 10th, 1851, sewing machine. A sewing machine, now on exhibition at the fair held at Castle Gardens, New York. It is constantly surrounded by a crowd of spectators. It is about 12 inches square, weighs 65 pounds, and will do the work of 8 to 10 persons. It is called the Singer's Straight Needle Perpendicular Action Sewing Machine. Singer's Corner. The Singer Sewing Machine Company moved into number 1 Washington Street on the corner with Grand Parade between 1873 and 1875 and is still there. The building was the headquarters of the Singer Company in Ireland and every floor was in use for offices and workshops. Singer's Corner. My secret lamp will float on white to set the scene. This limb is most prosthetic. It snaps on and off at will. Underneath my arm, a toolbox with needles and extra feet, a tacking plate, some snips, and fragrant oil to wet my crank. My printed circuit motherboard does not require redress. Don't tweak my small intestine, it's coated in shellac. I've got no time or space for a brittle carbon brush. Deep inside my vault, the sink-filled bobbin stands on edge. When you feel the urge to go, I tap my motor heart. My footsie throttle pedal awaits your tender touch. Stationed on the foredeck, a capstan of the telescopic type. The thread run up around the dog's claw feed, loop through my clip and down around the inner guide. Declutch this can to let my bobbin spin and fill in perfect sync without a needless stab. A thumbscrew fits the pintle flat, now squeeze the shaft. This coloured line streams from eye to hoop and lock the bottom stitch while you turn the wheel by hand. Another dial knurled to alter tension on my cotton line. I need not embroider some tricks that I've got up my sleeve. I know every border step to suit a long or short or stitch. I'll spin no yarn but often dance a jig to sew a buttonhole or cuff. One party piece, I like to mix a two-step hop among a zigzag flip. I march along the flap to fix a zip until the stop, that's where you snip. Woo! Okay.
Thanks, Seamus. Patricia Welsh is next.
It's called as history when it's warning. We are the people, and a faithful tribe, still deep picky over a twisted root. Times our lives resurrected. A history being bunk, headlong of spite. Love the banners close second. While cutting what doesn't feel us, voices of place, from the ground to seed, frankly obliterating the hidden children, paralyzed once too often. A city in wartime ekes out smartphones, surreptitious laundry and agent of culture. Time master narcissists punctuate the Great War. Allies to hand, born survivors, with neighbors housekeeping and landscapes, stroll past the train, tried existence. Lost masters a lesson in decorum. Searching for a savior, all but our lives, a Washington cold fish, swimming in a bucket, silently rebelling against some boat, rocked to breaking promise and will, conquering domestic status and color. Orderly and human, all right for some, to preach frugality and a simple life. The greater evil hope for, a broken world, high form of chattels, secure place, in a world at large, a square sky. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Joe Johnson is next.
Serendipity by Marcel Cronin. Imagine God announced the eternity and time as we knew it wouldn't be counted with hours and years. Imagine the song of the nightingale replaced the past, present and future, and chance determined the duration between our physical shapes, as if a sound wafts through the tree that stands in silence by your window and couldn't identify an end or a beginning. Imagine, I lay not in your dreams, where I spent the night under your eyelid, firmly anchored until we envisaged that we got lost at the same moment. So I have gone to be invisible for you, following strictly the commandments, like Ariel, a created thought of the air, floating beside you and brushing your skin. But imagine the time that foreshadowed God's eternity, which he made known to us, to be part of it when the other time existed. For now I am aware that you have shared the time we went into infinity.
Thank you, Joe. Philip Spillane.
So, like the last few nights, we really have a bit of a folk tale been writing. This is part of a project I'm doing with Gabriella over, we're doing poetry together, half in Portuguese, half in English. And this is a folk tale. It might be shortened down to a poem, but I'll be reading out the last two parts, the last two nights. It's called The Cliff Shepherd and the Sea Mistress. And the story is about the cliff shepherd made these cliffs over in Kerry and he doesn't want these cliffs to change, but the sea mistress is forced to come in and change it by the moon, and the cliff shepherd doesn't like that. It's the last part. You want to read the rest of it, either ask me afterwards or look up online in Almost an Island. You can come across it through my Facebook page. So it's the last part. When giants die, they become stone. Moon puffins migrate back home to the moon. Lethargic and tired for battling the waves for so long, but understanding there was no way of defeating her that way, the cliff shepherd decided to seek conference with the moon. But how to get there? He decided to capture a circus of moon puffins and lift his giant hide to the moon. 6 successfully, he captured as many birds as he could to carry him up and up. He held on to the ends of hair lace ropes, soft but strong, made of his fine hands. He was carried above the horizon, staying sky and evening at the same time. Below, the sea stretched out a mirror of the sky, and its cliffs vanished into a dot that couldn't be seen. With the moon so close that its glowing stones were easy to detail, somehow, his hairs snapped, cut, gone. He fell. You see an island on its own, off a great peninsula. It sticks out and you see finely carved face with sand hair and eyes that were like stars and fair grass that was clumped together, but mostly an island of barren stone. It's the only place the waves don't ever touch. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Philip. Mary Nagel is next.
Rosie's always been at me to play with, so I'm here tonight. This is by Bach, it's a servant, which I always thought it was kind of mournful, but apparently it's just compassionate, so let me decide.
Thank you.
settle on you there for a second, that's it. Well, make sure your arms are rosy. She's very welcome. Insisting Mary would play for us. Next up is Emma Penny.
These are just some rough thoughts I have about October and about living in Cork for a month. Thank you. I know all the people on my street, or rather, I know their pets and know them as consequence. Sitting talking at the gate to a man with a cat, I could smell it happening and I rushed to the kitchen before my accent congealed. What does it taste like if I add the spice? I'll test it later. As I stirred, I saw the fruit still stewing in another pot. Fruit the summer flies forgot. In the West, we say that winter is a stone's throw from rebirth. Just you wait. In Japan, it's a reminder that the end is just around the corner. Learn to get over it. I tattoo the summer flowers to my chest. Maybe to save me from that death of autumn leaves, of crunching bones against cold stone. And jam I make to preserve the fruit the summer flies forgot. Barely rescued, another way to cheat death, to save us from the rot. Raspberry immortality. Ingredients, that bruised fruit ready to collapse in on itself. Stewed to dark and bubbling. A layer of that and sugar. Another layer and sugar. Another. And sugar enough to cover it whole. And then the doctor's warning that sugar may cause weight gain, brain damage, heart failure, and diabetes. I cover that in sugar too. The sickly sweet pulp is what defeats the seasons.
Thank you, Amy. You're in court for a month, is it?
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing some of that time with us. We appreciate it. Next up is a lovely, lovely musician, but I think she's going to read for us tonight, Melanie Morales.
This is a bit strange because I'm used to singing and saying, you know, reading the lottery. Okay, so I haven't read this one before. This one was inspired by, I guess, an ex-lover. I'm just kind of thinking about like how nice that time was. It's called Heartbeat. It was in this insignificant space that I loved you. I succumbed to your burnt black hair and inquisitive eyes. And although you left tea stain cups scattered all around my bedroom, it didn't matter, because we were conjuring the same verb, breathing the same air, worshipping the same moon. My fingers would fervently rush over your naked canvas like the crest of a waterfall. You would carefully place pebble-shaped kisses at the nape of my neck. I knew then that the world would someday take you away from me, that the moment would eventually dissolve like effervescence. So I would throw my arms around you and pull you close until I could feel your heartbeat resonating against my chest. I held you so tight that my arms would ache. Even now, your fingerprints remain embedded in my skin, like bear tracks in the snow. And in the splendor of the night, I can still hear the melodic timbre of your voice lulling me to sleep.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
You have to love ex-lovers, don't you? They're just great for creativity. Break your fucking heart with a bit of thanks. Mike Screamin is next.
I just introduce a few lines and then it's a short song. It's all in one take, and I'll be brief. It's about four close friends of mine. Actually, they're men who have parted ways with their children, and sometimes my heart kind of breaks for them. Anyway, I'll try and get through this. This is in a trunk. His garden bears primroses to the autumn sky. He keeps toys in the attic space because you're still on his mind. Red fire trucks, PlayStations, calico printed clothes,
Memories of a little boy pick their way through garden roses, dog roses, carmine roses, grow high and climb the walls. Blood red fuchsia, magenta skirting round each issue that arose. The jackdaw came to comfort him in the lonely, empty times, and the dormouse and the robin, creature comforts of the living kind. So this is just the same.
And this is a composite of my four main friends' stories, so I won't tell too much of anything. I can get through it.
My boy named for the lion's heart used to lie in a cargo box and stole it away to the dark lake. But that short burst of joy when I fell on the soft charms did not make a fool of it. It made us a haunt, for when I lost my heart, you were laid from to know your perfection. To take you back for your own sweet self once more. You are me and I am you, and the dark lake will grow, cause there's a ruby in blue, and my warmth will flow straight back to you, and you're my warmth will flow straight back to you. My boy named the lion's heart, I stole luck in a silver box, that way I place it back below. That's as close as we can be for now, and that way I can rest my head with you. You are me and I am you, and the dark lake will glow, cause there's a ruby, and my warmth will flow straight back to you, and my warmth will flow straight back to you.
It's going to be broken all over.
That's beautiful.
They cared in Chikuin, beg my mother, Caris go, is neighbourly in Dish. Next Thursday, my mother will be 89. You look at this Tobuk she, the character. She was born and reared in Black Rock. In my land, in my childhood, voice taken. Traveling woman, trip tree. Welcome to the traveling woman, trip tree, wet tree. Grime lighter, earn litter, unpresumed mimic. A tight grip on the letter from memory prison. Go again, biscuits. August Tay Tay, Sikishtin, Tirin Tay. Go again, biscuits. In the warm, dry kitchen. In my oiga, in my youth, a ruler lino on a lino floor. Sinus place there in the free hospital, John Redley Street. A Pinocchio no water, waiting for my mother. Slawnish defeat the view. Goodbye to the living teeth.
Tomás Shaylock, Tomás McCurtain, Terence McSweeney, David Smirlet, and Haran Carter. Greetings from the Bard Ascorpic. Fionn Brat, Fionn Lash, under the flag, under the lash. Oglick Meheran, the Irish Volunteers, Massarin Tanga, Gawr and Tanga, love of the language. Gone, 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 liberty. Shanae.
You own, and the final person on your mic for this 483rd Obel is Michelle Delay.
Remarkable architect, hold me here a happy hostage. I could and might be and probably will die for this relentless beauty, for the secret thousands of layers of soft papery eyelids opening in canon, blossoming within a minute, quick succession, breathtaking, kept somewhere else, safe. And the fruit unveiled within it touches the surfaces of beauty with its extended gaze. She is not upon me, but filling the space around my softening skin, leaving no voids. In the space around me, sound is constant, and the acoustics let me know this shape of the space I'm in. With closed eyes, I can touch and measure this enclosure. The exposure of any sight is shuttered. In the space around me, the scent is constant. It emanates from the materials and fills my body with it. We swap gases harmoniously, breathing each other. In the space around me, light is traveling and it stops, and shadows let me know the watts of depth. It lets me know the cold. There is wonder inside it, a magic. Objects invisible in darkness. The color of the stone without and with the light. Light has to give it. Let me know how shaded I am. In the space around me, there are people moving, and I am in the space around them.